echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 2, The Value of APIs. Today, we'll discuss how APIs are providing value by enabling businesses to improve efficiencies, increase revenue, and meet changing market demands. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist for Google Cloud. And joining me today is a lead value advisor on our global customer success team, Raymond Ping. Welcome, hey. Raymond.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Chris.
I appreciate you joining. So today we are going to talk about the value of APIs.
Absolutely.
Now, there's a lot that kind of goes into that. I mean, we could go like in any number of directions. But I wanted to start at a very simple level, which is we often talk with teams that immediately discount the value of APIs and say, look, those are just integrations. They're for our development team. They're software components. Go talk to my developers. That's who cares about APIs. There's really no value in that. How do you respond?
Yeah, it's excellent. It comes up a lot. And I think even when we're out there at a conference and you're meeting someone, they bring that up. They're like, oh, I really want a better integration play. That's something that was going on in the, like, the 1990s.
Right.
When APIs were just starting out and people were figuring out how to get system to system. But I think the real power that I try to tell people is that APIs is really about opening up your business and innovating what you can possibly do.
Recently, I was talking to someone else and we looked at the evolution of APIs. And originally, I think, say a decade ago or so, APIs were all about access. They were RESTful. The architecture was fairly simplistic. That was what was really driving API use. And then we kind of moved into this integration mode where it was about connecting system A with system B or software A with software B. And crazy enough, there's a lot of companies that are still in this mindset of just purely integration. But as we've seen companies become more mature, we get into this experience mindset where it's really about delivering connected experiences, and that's generating value for an organization. But I think the really mature organizations look at APIs as this transformational ability where APIs are generating new business models and building platforms and ecosystems. That's really where we want people to get to, right?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of great examples out there, but just from if you look at the way applications or companies are going to market these days, traditionally, you would figure out what your end customer needs, satisfy them, maybe build these digital experiences or applications, and then you'd have your development teams build them, right? That's pretty traditional.
Right.
Like every company's doing that. The pivot point is how do you innovate at scale? Like how do you change that value chain? Because that value chain is you're locked in. Like how many applications can you release a year? You know, how many new releases can you do?
Sure.
It, you can only go as fast as your IT team or your digital team. But what we think about is how can we disrupt that value chain for APIs? We're using APIs, right? So, for example, if I take the core set of APIs that I have, if I was a retailer or a bank, and I opened up those capabilities, ordering, you know, transferring accounts, loyalty platforms, if I opened that up and I invited third parties to innovate on top of me, how many different applications could they create that are far more unique, more interesting than what my internal teams could do? And not only that, could I then actually do a revenue share model? So could I invite agencies and third parties basically to use the capabilities that I have, and then they're going to market selling their capabilities and then my products and services along with it? We see that with banks integrating with fintechs. We see retailers selling their items on other websites, on other companies.coms. And so those things, I think, are companies disrupting their own value chain.
Yeah, so you You talked about a couple of things there, just general value, like actually applying some type of even revenue or monetary value to an API. You've talked about innovation and scale, yep. right? And I think APIs definitely bring value to an organization when you can innovate yep. or streamline innovation or yep. scale development or scale ideas around yep. you know development.
Yep.
What other ways do we see that we can evaluate or bring yeah. value to APIs?
Yeah. So let's sum up. There's four things that I see. There's
okay.
four ways. So, and a lot of times I have an executive or someone who's trying to build a business case and they understand that APIs are innovative, could change their business model, but they're trying to build that business case. There are four ways that I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
The first, I think, is most traditional, is that I'm using APIs to go faster to market. And essentially, I'm reducing the overall development costs within IT or within digital. So what's going on is that you're seeing more reuse. If I'm going to build services and capabilities within my company, if everybody consumes that service, then I'm no longer building point-to-point connections, right?
Right, sure.
So now my development effort's going down by some percentage, and I'm seeing that directly in the costs from an IT perspective, or the productivity of my team. So I'm releasing more, I'm doing more. That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I think, which is much more interesting from a sales-driven perspective, is that I'm using APIs to sell my products and services on different channels that I don't own.
Yeah.
So, for example, like we've seen that Ticketmaster sells their tickets through other channels, whether it's Costco or Broadway.com or Fox. Basically, your products and services are no longer confined to the .com that you have. You know, you're selling them on a totally different channel that you're not there.
Yeah.
Cable companies are selling third-party access to media. Transportation companies are finding third-party logistics providers that are selling their services, their transportation services. Banks are figuring out that they can sell their loan or their micro loans or their financial products on retail sites in context of the e-commerce experience. They don't have to own that
right.
website.
They're yeah, just, exactly.
They're just selling it there, right? So that's the second way. The third way is monetizing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a particular core asset. You know, for example, we see a lot of companies have started to aggregate data. And so now they are able to either take that anonymized data and sell some of that data for insights, or they're able to take something that they, let's say a bank I've seen does a lot of commercial bank, and they've noticed that a lot of their customers really want to integrate with them through their APIs. So now they'd rather pay to integrate through their APIs than using those applications. So now they can monetize those services
sure.
that are more integrated, you know, through APIs rather than through traditional applications.
Yep.
And then the last way, the fourth way, is from a supply perspective. So if I'm a retailer and I'm selling stuff like Amazon, for example, right? Amazon doesn't actually own all of the supply chain of everything on their store. They have the Amazon marketplace, and so they're bringing other goods and other sellers onto their platform. We see a lot of retailers, especially the bigger guys and the .com based retailers, are able to create a marketplace by allowing other sellers to connect and sell their stuff on their e-commerce platform via APIs. So they're onboarding and selling products. So if I was a ABC retailer, I'm selling products that I don't actually own because I'm onboarding other retailers onto my marketplace.
Yeah.
Right. So I've just totally increased my supply. And now that's a different revenue stream that I didn't have. And I don't have to have the cost of goods sold necessarily, right? Because I'm not producing those goods in order to sell them.
No, those are great. And I think I've got one more for you.
Yep.
So to add five, but to break those down, we've got cost savings. And cost savings can reduce cost as well as, in theory, if I improve my processes, then I'm reducing costs, right? So cost savings. You've got revenue generation, right? So we can monetize APIs and generate new revenues.
Right.
You've got a strategic vision or strategic approach, which would be things like being able to sell products on new platforms like Ticketmaster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've got something that's really core to your business. You said supply, demand, fulfillment, from based on whatever the core business is and being able to generate opportunities there, right?
Yep.
Yep. I think that summarizes the things you were saying. I think the fifth one that I would add into that would be any type of end user or customer impact, because we can look at things like customer satisfaction.
Yeah.
If you can increase customer satisfaction, then in theory, you are generating value to your organization, whether or not that's direct revenue or not, right?
Right.
It could be indirect revenue in some way.
Yep.
Guess you could argue it's still revenue.
But it's probably longer term. I mean, basically, it's like, I think that's why ecosystems are so powerful.
Sure.
Because it creates long-term customer retention, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm able to buy this, do this, and transact, and you know me well, chances are I'm not going to go to another competitor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I like the ease of doing business with you is so much easier. Why would I switch?
If we were to define digital transformation, the term has been played and overplayed. And it's, you know, it's one of these things that everybody is talking about today. But if we were to really break down digital transformation, it's about the ability for an organization to keep up with the ever-changing technology demands that are out there. And we see that as consumers gain certain expectations of interacting with businesses, that if those businesses are unable to keep up with those demands, they will go to other businesses just because they need to align with those individual expectations. So I would argue that APIs help us maintain that and keep up with those ever-changing expectations, or technology as technology changes. Hey, I just got this new phone. Look at what it does.
Yeah.
I want to be able to use this phone. Oh, you can't use my phone, you know, for this thing.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's dead on. I mean, I think that's the nature of the pace of change of technology.
Sure.
There's always going to be new devices. There's always new screens and surfaces. And there's always things that are connected to each other. And so that's exponential complexity that companies have to deal with. And consumers are going to want to find and use the latest and greatest. So as a company, you're going to get left behind if you're not able to connect and meet the customer where they are.
And I think what we're seeing now, even more so today, is we naturally gravitate towards the businesses that identify with that digital persona that I have. Mm-hmm. For instance, there are clearly iPhone users, and there are clearly Samsung users, and there's clearly Google Pixel users, right? And oftentimes they go at each other like, oh, you're not using an iPhone. That's part of their identity now. And so when they're engaging, if they go to Starbucks to order coffee and I want to use Google Pay versus Apple Pay, that's their identity. They wrap themselves around that technology.
Yeah.
And again, APIs help those organizations to adapt and evolve around those.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because in the end, companies don't necessarily lose out. Like if I think about it, like companies have, they figured out a way to make money, right? Like all businesses have figured out how to be profitable and they have something core to be able to sell. And the problem is that you don't always sell through the same channels anymore. So that's why APIs are so great, is because you take all your core assets, your core products and services, and if you turn them and use APIs to get them out, then you'll be almost like forever future-proof in how you can distribute your products and services through whatever channels are coming up to.
You know, a good example of that, and one that you're probably close to, is Domino's Pizza. Like Domino's has relentlessly tried to find ways to create new channels to order pizza.
Right.
And their entire API program is based solely on, let's come up with the craziest way that we could possibly have people order pizzas.
Yeah.
But that's worked for them.
That's totally worked for them. And like Amazon has the one-click ordering. Domino has the no-click ordering.
Yes.
So it's like, how do I don't have to do anything and I get pizza. Like, I just look at my phone.
You've got one click. Oh, we're going to beat that.
Yeah.
No-click.
No-click.
Done.
Yeah. it's pretty cool, right? And it's all done through, you know, if you think about it, like, that innovation is really experience-driven.
Yes.
But in the end, you're still ordering pizza.
Right.
You know, someone's got to make it. It's going to get on a car or bicycle somewhere, and it's going to get delivered to you. And those are all APIs that are connecting that transaction.
And the last time I checked, 65% of all sales at Domino's is done through their digital platforms.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Which is pretty powerful.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that means they figured out that in order for them to get pizza to people, they've got to find new ways, and they've totally changed it, right? Because,
right.
What, like 10 years ago, people were probably all calling in the pizza or carry out orders or walking,
right? Exactly.
And now it's all digital. So they have to figure out how to get people to get pizza to people from point A to point B as fast as possible in the easiest way. Otherwise, they're going to go to like Pizza Hut, Papa John's.
Exactly.
Like, it's not about the pizza. It's like, how fast can I get that?
Who, by the way, you kind of rattled off Pizza Hut and Papa John's, all who are basically mimicking Domino's with pizza trackers and delivery mechanisms, right? So you've got a formula that's working, and then you've got competition that is going to try to keep up with what you're innovating on.
Even if everybody loves pizza, first of all, but even if your business isn't like Domino's or a pizza business, if you think about the fact that Domino's is innovating, so they're changing their experience constantly, right? But if you're changing that, like for most companies, that's a lot of churn. That's a lot of IT development. That's a lot of rework. If you think rework, they think costs. But if you have APIs, all you're really doing is you're changing the front end.
Yeah.
Right? All the stuff in the back, the payments, the data, the transactions, the ordering, the account manager, the customer profile, that's all reused. All you're changing is the front end.
Yeah.
And so how can you, if you're going to compete and you want to be faster than the market, then you want to have as little rework as possible. And so break those back-end systems into APIs. And so now whenever I need to innovate on the front end, I'm just going to change the front end. I don't have to retool the back end.
And you know what? This goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, where if you don't keep up with the expectations of consumers, they're going to go to your competitors. So if we flip the conversation from the main big pizza companies down to the mom and pop pizza companies that are still potentially taking phone orders, are still taking, you know, you walk in and place that order. Yeah. We are seeing those mom and pop shops starting to go out of business because they can't keep up with that level of innovation. However, we are also now seeing new services that are materializing, like say an Uber Eats, you know, or a Postmates, Grubhub, that are introducing this concept of digital ordering systems into mom and pop shops, which are giving them entirely new opportunities for growth.
Right, exactly. They're a platform play.
Right.
You know, they figured out that they can aggregate all of these different pizza or food companies, and they can do the delivery for them, which is incredible as well.
So if we were to backtrack and say, we've outlined four or five principles of what value means, you know, around APIs, but to that CEO, CTO, CXO, CIO, whoever is listening currently, what is the business justification for bringing in an API program?
Number one, it's growth. It's growing your company faster than you were able to before because you're finding either new channels of revenue that you didn't have or new business models that you didn't have before. Right. So a lot of the customers that I work with, what's differentiating this business case from the other ones that they have is this one, they're finding new channels of growth and they're finding new business models. That's really exciting because when you're competing, you need to hedge your bets on different things, right? So API is allowing you to hedge your bets.
I'm going to give you two more words and see if you can come up with some type of business strategy for an executive who's considering building an API program. Are you ready? Two more words. Here we go.
Okay.
The first one is open. Can you build an API product strategy justification for an API program around the word open?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
When you're open, if your strategy is to open up your capabilities, and you're open for innovation, open for different business models, you're open for partnerships, and those things allow you to go faster. They allow you to find things you've never found before and access talent and access ideas that you may not have thought in your traditional organization, your traditional R&D methods. That open is what's changing and allowing businesses to kind of disrupt themselves.
Excellent. Okay, here's the second word.
Okay.
Intelligence. And I'm putting Ray on the spot here. This is completely spontaneous. But it's interesting because when I think about just like the cloud in general, these two words resonate well and intelligence. And I think a lot of what we're doing with API programs is around, like you just said, openness. Yeah. But I think there is certain level of intelligence behind this as well.
There is a lot of data out there, and there's a lot of companies who are trying to figure out how to use machine learning. Like when I think intelligent, I think of new ways of building insights and other predictive or smarter ways of pattern recognition. And so I think companies who've aggregated a lot of data are looking to be smarter at predicting things, whether it's personalizing, whether it's saving or predicting the next best action. So APIs allow you to basically build these models and allow these models to be accessed by any part of your organization, or allow you to be able to sell those models or be able to share those capabilities, you know, with partners.
Yeah.
There was a customer that I worked with where they have a series of insights that they have built essentially machine learning models out of, and they've been able to monetize some of that.
Oh, nice.
That's some intelligence. They've added the value on top of the data. When I think of intelligence, I think of how can you use intelligence as a capability, as a service?
Yeah.
Because companies who've aggregated a lot of data, data is interesting, but what you glean from it is the more interesting part. And so if you take data and build insights or build recommendations, which is really what I think of machine learning, to give you those recommendations, that's real intelligence. Because that means I know I can predict, I can like give you answers that are probably going to help you rather than just throwing a lot of data at you.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I think the APIs is that primary conduit of the future of helping provide more intelligence responses.
Well, Ray, I think you just nailed some two spontaneous questions, API, random API strategies.
What's
there.
Next, puppies?
Yeah. So how about if we look at our question of the day? Here's our question of the day. And actually, it's kind of interesting because it's the reverse. Earlier, we were talking about how do you convince a C-level executive about building API programs. But this question basically says, I'm in the development department, and I fully understand that there's more to APIs than integration. How do I convince my executives that we should be focused on more product strategy around APIs than integration strategies around APIs? How do we go from the bottom up?
I've seen different ways to make it successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you are a developer, IT, or an architect, let's say someone from a technical background, I think the first thing is you really have to partner with some folks on the business.
Yeah.
They don't have to be senior, but they do have to come from a business or a customer perspective. You know, for example, I'm working actually with a customer right now. And what they did, Chris, is essentially IT and the product team came together and they said, what are some of our big customer pain points today?
Sure.
And I said, let's build a persona. And actually, you and I talked about that. So basically what they did was they came up with several personas of their customers. And then they walked those customers through the journey.
That's
and
great.
This was a healthcare context. So basically this customer had a lot of pain points from call center to interacting with their products, to interacting with their systems. And they said, all these pain points, how can we solve them better? And where can APIs fit? And they ended up coming up with about 50 different APIs. And we ranked those APIs based on value and ability to execute.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had pretty much a aligned business case. They said, okay, next step. IT and business are going to go to the executive suite together, and we're going to talk about these are a couple of core APIs that would be really valuable to the business. They would use it, and this is what we think it would take to build it, and that's our first ask. Let's show you the possibility of solving our customer problems with these APIs, because then this is our real use case. So it isn't something super macro. It's a first pilot of what they can do with APIs.
Yeah, no, that's a great story. And I think when I think about this question, you can really break it down into two processes. You've got top down. Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about Domino's. And the reality is the Domino's CEO said, we're a technology company and you're going to start producing APIs and we're going to focus on meeting the demands of our consumers through technology. And we just happen to sell pizza. That's a clear top down approach. Then you've got the bottom-up approach, which, like you said, I think small wins, grow adoption internally, prove out the use cases, begin to solve those customer needs in some way that's going to attract business. When you begin to align the IT teams with the business teams so that you kind of understand what are the business challenges that are trying to be solved, yeah. and then IT helps you solve those through APIs, that's when you get a really good marriage.
Yeah, and that's what makes it real too.
Exactly.
Because in the end, it's like you've got these high level cases, but the business, it has to make sense for the business.
I think that's a good place to end it. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate your insights and your conversation. It was great having you. And of course, thank you all for listening to the show. If you want to learn more, please find us online and throughout social media, all at That Digital Show. And be sure you hit the subscribe button on your favorite platform. Share the show with some coworkers and your friends. And join us next week for another episode of That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.